Our second lesson from the book of Revelation, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. John says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven. He had the key to the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, threw him into the abyss, locked it, and set a seal on it, so that he could no longer deceive the nations until 1,000 years come to an end. After this, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones, and those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast and his image, and they did not receive his mark on their forehead and on their hand. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not live until 1,000 years came to an end. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. Instead, they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace to you from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. We pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your words to us draw near. Amen. My kids were laughing at the devil the other night. Pastor's kids laughing at the devil. Actually, I was teaching them to laugh at the devil. Martin Luther often told people to laugh at the devil. People came to him with their problems. They came to him depressed, and he said, "Oh, those thoughts, they come from the devil. The only thing to do is to laugh at him." I think we all need a little more laughing at the devil in our lives. Might not be from suffering depression, though maybe it is. Those thoughts, they're not from you, they're from the devil. But you could have other thoughts bothering you. All of us have to fight these deceptions, these thoughts from the devil every day. You have a problem in a relationship, maybe especially this happens in a marriage, that you're at each other, and you think, that's it. He's against me. I'm against her. We can't bring God into this. He'll just make it worse. Those are lies. It's a joke. You see another one of those news stories? Maybe it's from far away. Maybe it's from just in your backyard here in Saginaw. And you think, oh man, what's going on in the world? It's over. Our culture is so evil. Evil. Our country is declining. Ha! You know those thoughts are a joke, right? And a bad one from the devil. Revelation teaches us today to laugh. Laugh at the devil. Oh, sure, you take him seriously. Yes, I, as your pastor, want you to take the devil seriously. He is dangerous. He is scary. Revelation shows us that. In Revelation chapter 20, what do we see? It's this giant dragon. And what is that? That's a symbol for the devil. And yes, you should understand almost all of Revelation symbolically. Why? Because God told you to. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, Christ expressed this revelation by means of symbols. So yes, the devil is not a literal dragon walking through your backyard, but you already knew this. This dragon in Revelation is a symbol for the devil. And why a dragon? Because yes, it is big and strong and scary and fire-breathing, and the devil's like that. But John explains the symbol. He says the devil is that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan. So yeah, he's dangerous. That's why we just sing, rise to arms with prayer, implore you. Satan has designed your fall. Watch out. He's that ancient serpent. Yes, the guy who took the form of a snake and slithered into the Garden of Eden way back then and tricked Adam and Eve to rebel against God and bring sin and death into the world. And he's still hissing in your ear to get you to sin against God, to rebel. It just brings more death into the world, you know. God forgive us. And he's the devil and Satan. What does that mean? The accuser. The adversary, your enemy. You saw it in the garden. He got Adam and Eve chummy. He said, oh yeah, Adam and Eve, God's holding out on you. But the second he tricked them into sin, he turned on them and started accusing them. Run, Adam and Eve. Hide. God is coming and he's your enemy. He's going to crush you because of what you've done. And the devil still turns on us and accuses us and opposes us. God's not on your side anymore. He's out to get you. He's probably punishing you. So yes, the devil is like a dragon. He's a sneaky serpent. He's an adversary. He's a tempter. And he can't get you. That's what Revelation chapter 20 shows us. This dragon shows up and he looks scary, but you see what happens to him? It's kind of like, this is maybe mostly for you kids or parents who want to admit it, the latest Super Mario Bros. Movie. Close to the start, there's a scene with this army of penguins. That's going to be the devil. And they look so scary. They've got a giant glowing ice castle. And they've got an entire army, and they see Bowser coming in the distance, and these penguins are ready for war. So the king gathers them together and says, charge! And you see them thundering out of the castle, throwing snowballs with all their might. Ah! And then it zooms out a little bit, and this giant army of penguins only comes up to Bowser's ankles. And it shows all the snowballs flying past him. And then one does hit Bowser, and it's a snowball. So it hits him and bounces off. And the little penguin king, he shouts at Bowser. He says, this is but a taste of our fury. Do you yield? And you know what Bowser does? He laughs. Like he should. No, I don't yield to these little penguins. He takes them, he throws them in jail, and he burns down their ice castle with one fiery breath. In Revelation chapter 20, the devil is the penguins. He shows up, he's a dragon. Ah, do you yield? No, God doesn't yield. What do we see? John says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven. He had the key to the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, bound him for 1,000 years, threw him into the abyss, locked it, set a seal on it, so that he could no longer deceive the nations until the 1,000 years come to an end. After this, he must be released for a short time. You see it? First glance, big, bad, scary dragon, devil, and then, like a superhero from the sky, an angel comes down from heaven, a glorious, glowing messenger, takes the dragon, chains him up, throws him down, and locks it. Now, who's this angel? Sometimes it's hard to pick out who's who in the book of Revelation. It was hard for John, too, who is seeing it all. Who are these people? But thankfully, Revelation always helps us with other verses. And sure enough, we were introduced to this angel, this messenger from heaven in Revelation chapter 1, which pretty much explains the whole book. How does Jesus introduce himself in Revelation chapter 1? I am the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. I also hold the keys of death and hell. who is this glowing, glorious superhero messenger from heaven? It's Jesus himself holding the keys to death and hell. Why? Because he went there and came back to life. An angel came down from heaven. So how does Jesus throw down Satan? How does he defeat Satan? How does he bind him? Well, you hear it in that phrase, he came down from heaven. We confess this in our creed, don't we? The Nicene Creed. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. Unlike the devil who was thrown out of heaven because of his pride, Jesus came down from heaven in humility for us and for our salvation. Yes, people who could be scared, who can't face the devil, Jesus came down from heaven to save us. And how does he bind the devil up? Well, it's through everything else he did. The rest of the creed, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He lived for us. He suffered for us. He was crucified, died and was buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, and is ruling all things. Those are the truths that bind the devil, that take this dragon and make him like a dog on a leash. Those are still the truths that bind Satan. We saw it even before it happened in the Garden of Eden. What happened? Well, the devil turned on Adam and Eve, right? They hid and they thought, well, I guess we're on the devil's team now because God's coming to get us. But that was a lie. God came into the garden, and what did he do? He said, no, 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 this isn't right. I will take this hostility, and I'll put it between you, Satan, and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He, Jesus, will crush your head. Joke's over, buddy. That's how Jesus binds the devil. He takes away the lies. John said that. He said, I saw the devil and he was bound in a chain and God stopped him so that he could no longer deceive the nations. That's the devil's method to try to get you. He tries to lie to you. He tries to deceive you. And the good news of the gospel just stops it. It's a joke. Well, sure, it's difficult. Those thoughts come, especially thoughts of depression. Yeah, you know, maybe people would be better off without you. Ha! Jesus says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a child of God. My time on earth ends when he says it ends. And if I'm still here, I'm still an object of his love and mercy, and there's still good things for me to do. Get out of here. You get in a fight in a relationship. Oh, nothing will ever fix this. Ha! Well, that's a lie. I'm sorry. I forgive you. Reconciliation. God puts things back together. See a news story, and you think, oh no, what's going on in the world? The devil's in control. That guy? That little guy on a leash? No, he's not. Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He rules all things, yes, even what the devil does, for your good, and he rules in your heart. Ha! Get away, devil! And sure, it says, well, he must be released for a short time. Well, what's that about? That sounds scary. It isn't. What God is saying is if it seems like the devil's stronger than ever before, if it seems like he got off his leash, it just means God is setting him up for an even bigger punchline. It's exactly like when the Israelites came out of Egypt and they thought they were done with Pharaoh, who's kind of like a devil figure. And they're like, we're free. And then they look behind them and Pharaoh changed his mind and he's coming with his whole army and they freak out. Oh no, he's been released for a short time. He's coming to get us. And God says, no, 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 no. Just wait. Just wait for the punchline. Yeah, yeah, watch, watch. Yeah, I let him go for a second. Just watch. And he runs straight into the Red Sea and is crushed. If it seems like the devil is stronger than ever before, then God is just lobbing up a nice soft pitch for himself to knock him out of the park. He's a punchline. That's why my kids were laughing at him. I said, you guys know what the devil's like? He's like a sneaky snake, and he comes to get you, But you know what happens every time? Jesus yanks him back. It's kind of like you hear his barking, and it's a deep, strong bark, and it bothers you. Woof, 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 woof. And you think this dog is coming from around the corner. Woof, woof, woof. Oh, it's going to get me. And you turn the corner, and the barking is coming from this tiny little puppy in a tiny little pink purse. Woof, 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 woof. And God's carrying the purse, going, yeah, can you believe this? He thinks he's in charge. That was a joke. And the biggest punchline in this text is who is holding the leash? Because it's not just Jesus. What does John say next, starting in verse 4? Then I saw thrones, and those who were sitting on them were given the authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast and his image, and they did not receive his mark on their forehead and on their hand. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. It's not just Jesus in charge here. John sees something else. He sees thrones. For those who have authority to judge, yes, judge the world, judge Satan through the word of God. And who gets to sit on these thrones? Kings in charge of the universe. Who are these people? What does he say next? Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus. So let me get this straight. Big, strong, evil dragon. And who's in charge of him? A bunch of believers in Jesus, a bunch of Christians who had their heads chopped off. Why? It's just a flesh wound. Don't overthink it. You know who this is. The start of Revelation and the end of Revelation says that believers are kings in God's kingdom. God's kingdom come. It's in your heart. This is you. Jesus says, yes, when you come to faith, you'll be persecuted. In John's day, people were having their heads chopped off. And John sees in this vision that that is no big deal. It is just like that scene in Monty Python with Arthur against the Black Knight. And the Black Knight gets his arm chopped off, and he says, "'Tis but a scratch." And then he gets his other arm chopped off, and he says, "'It's just a flesh wound," and he keeps on fighting. The devil can do his worst to you. He can chop your arms off. He can chop your head off. He can persecute you. It's just a flesh wound. You are invincible. You reign with Christ. He can't do anything. This is true for all believers. That's what John says. Don't get confused by all the images here. It's all pretty clear. It says, who's reigning? People who haven't received the mark of the beast. And you go, oh man, what's the mark of the beast? Is it a microchip or something? No, it's a vision. It's symbols. And in the symbol, John has to see who's a believer and who's not a believer. The believers are those who don't have that mark, who haven't bowed to idols, who trust their Savior. Every single believer, you don't have the mark of the beast. Don't worry about it. You don't have it because you know your Savior. You rule with Christ, and how long? It says 1,000 years. Again, don't be confused. It's a symbol, 1,000 years. It's just like if I said today, look, kids, I told you 1,000 times to turn the light off. Not literally 1,000 times. What I'm telling you is I've told you enough. I've told you the complete amount of times. Believers rule with Christ 1,000 years. It's like Satan saying, Satan, never in 1,000,000 years are you going to be in charge until Jesus comes again. Then you got bigger problems. And then it says, these believers who rule, even though they've been persecuted, they share in the first resurrection. They're blessed and holy. Not complicated. What's the first resurrection? It's coming to spiritual life. Really, if you're ever confused by a vision in the Bible like Revelation, just go somewhere where it's written clearly. This vision is just a picture of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, which says, but God, because he is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved. He also raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what John sees. You have been brought to life from spiritual death to spiritual life through the good news about Jesus. Your sins are forgiven, and you have been raised with Christ. You rule with him. You hold the leash of that little devil, Satan, and you tug on it every time you remember and share the truths of the gospel. So when there's trouble, when there's doubt, when there's worry, peel back the curtain, see the vision with John, see the spiritual reality, and laugh. That's what Luther told his friend Jerome to do. Luther's house was basically a dormitory. People would stay with him all the time, and there was this guy named Jerome who thought it was over. Because he thought Christians had to be happy all the time and had easy lives all the time. And he wasn't happy and he was depressed and he thought Satan was getting the best of him. And this is what Luther wrote to Jerome. Jerome, here's what I want you to do. Whenever this temptation comes to you, avoid arguing with the devil or dwelling on those deadly thoughts. In this kind of temptation and fight, contempt is the best and easiest method to conquer the devil. The devil is conquered by mocking and despising him, not by resisting and arguing with him. Therefore, my Jerome, join in jokes and games with my wife and the rest, and in this way you will cheat those diabolical thoughts and take good courage. Ha! Looked like the devil had him for a second. Come in like a dragon to devour Jerome around that table, he and everybody else, but peel back the curtain. Look at the spiritual reality behind it all, and what do you see? Jerome and the rest of those believers are not sitting on dining chairs around that table. They're sitting on thrones. And they're not alone. The angel who came down from heaven, Jesus himself, is there where two or three are gathered in his name. And that table doesn't just have board games and jokes. It has a feast of eternal life. Oh yeah, and Satan? That little mutt under the table, chained, begging for scraps. Ha! What a joke he is. Amen. To him who loved us and freed us from our sins by his own blood and made us a kingdom of priests to God his Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen.